right. Psalm 61. For the director of music with stringed instruments of David. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day.
Well, please keep your Bibles open to Psalm 61. We begin a new year. We're a few weeks deep into this new year already, but you've noticed the trend. I've noticed the trend at the beginning of most years now is that people will look back on the year that's been. They look back on the year that's been and reflect on how it's been a hard year. So many things in this last year that have been struggles and strains and stresses. So many things that have been hard. And we start the new year. The trend is to start the new year hoping that this year will be better than last year. Is that the hope? That's the hope. I remember people saying that so vividly at the end of 2019. Do you remember the last months of 2019? Australia was just racked with bushfires. The sky was brown. There was smoke everywhere. Washing smelt like smoke when it came back in. Everywhere was smoke. There was drought. There was fire. There were people losing lives and houses and communities were burnt. And they came at the end of so many other struggles through 2019. And people ended the year 2019 thinking, 2020, that's the year of hope, right? That's going to be our security. We're hoping for security this year. And did it play out like that? No. 2020 was a disaster. COVID. All kinds of struggles and pains and suffering and death. And we finally got to the end of the year 2020 after months of lockdown and all kinds of fear and these just new understanding of what a global pandemic could look like and feel like, and we've lived through it, and people homeschool, all kinds of things. You get to the end of 2020 and people were thinking, finally, next year is going to be better. We got through that terrible year. Do you know what, 2021? More lockdown, more COVID, all kinds of angst over vaccines or no vaccine, all kinds of things that brought angst and fear and terror. And it's the same every year. It's the same every year. If we get to the end of one year with the hope that next year is going to be our security, next year is going to bring peace and safety and hope and security, I'm sure of it. In this coming year, can I say, you will be disappointed. I mean, we already have, right? We're 3 weeks deep into 2026. And I've already been feeling shook up. I don't know about you, if you've spent any time looking at the news, watching global affairs. You have the revolution kicking off in Iran. Or maybe it's just protesters being slaughtered. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen there. We have Donald Trump's trying to start a war over Greenland. We have nations around the world rattling their cages, world leaders who are just ramping up the rhetoric and the aggression in how they talk to each other and talk about each other. And it feels like I have genuinely felt moments of reading these things and feeling fear for what could come this year. Genuine fear of, could there be a war? What kind of things could happen? What is this year going to be? But not just the global scale. I'm sure that most of us, there are things in our life coming up this year, personally, that we're afraid of, that we're worried about. Seeing someone decline with Alzheimer's or dementia, someone that we love and know, we're going to have to find a home. Knowing that the doctor's visit that's scheduled for later this month or this year, it could be something that's terrifying. Not knowing what's going to come in the relationships, life at home with our families, all kinds of things. Where can we turn for security? Where can we turn for hope? Because I tell you, 2026 is a poor substitute for security. Well, the psalm that we're looking at this morning, Psalm 61, points us to God. It points us to God and his King as our source of ultimate security and hope. Whether it's 1000 BC or whether it's 2026 AD, we can find security and hope in our God and his King. And so we're going to look at this psalm under two headings. Firstly, we're going to think about being safe on the rock. And I love the illustrations that came through the book that Kristen was reading. Safe on the rock. And secondly, we'll think about being safe with the King. So let's pray for God's help as we dive into this passage to see what he has to say to us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. And we thank you that you speak to us. And we pray that in your words this morning, you will give us hope, that you will show us our safety and security in Christ, and that you will encourage us, give us joy, even in the face of hardship, knowing that you are with us. Please calm our minds this morning, take away distractions, and help us to hear what you have to say to us today. Amen. Well, this psalm, Psalm 61, the heading of the psalm that is part of the psalm itself, it says, "For the director of music with stringed instruments of David." Now, this psalm may have been written by David, and there's some really good reasons why we might think King David has written this psalm. Or it could actually have been written about David, a sort of him, about him. But whatever reason, this psalm is about the king and references the king, and that king is likely David. And this psalm is written by an Israelite, an ancient Israelite, whether David or someone else. But whoever it is, this ancient Israelite is facing some kinds of trials and pain, and they cry out in very personal way to their God. Cry out in a very personal way to their God in the face of the struggles and strains. And they cry out in weakness and a real sense of dislocation. Have a look there at verses 1 and 2. See what the psalmist says. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." We don't know what's going on in the life of the psalmist, but we know it's bad. We know it's bad. He's gripped by fear or by loneliness or by anxiety or grief or all of those things all at once. And all of these things are washing over him. They're knocking him around. And he cries out to God as his only hope. And he's begging God to listen. He's begging God to care about his situation and the pain that he's feeling. Because he feels like he is so distant from God. He feels like he's a million miles away from God. And that God is a million miles away from him. Maybe he is, but that's certainly how he feels. And whatever's going on for him, his heart is growing faint, he says. His strength, his resolve is failing. He just feels broken. And the problems are just overwhelming him. And then he feels like he's going to be washed away by the problems he's facing. And there's nothing he can do to fix it. And see what he cries out in verse 2? He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He knows there's some kind of security and safety out there, but he can't get himself to it. He knows that in the past, God has been his refuge. In fact, he says that sort of thing in verse 3. God has been his safety, his refuge. But now he can't get to that safety. He can't feel safe with God at the moment. He can't see God at work. Stuff is going on and he's just questioning, how is God doing this? How is God involved? What is God doing right now? He feels lost and washed away and God is out of reach and he's drowning. He's drowning, and drowning people can't help themselves. They can't get themselves up to safety. That's why they're drowning. I used to work as a lifeguard at a pool. I used to work at Sutherland Pool. I was a lifeguard there, and we'd spend hours each day staring at the water, just staring, watching, watching, watching. Despite what you may have heard about what to do when you're in a rip and you're meant to sort of like wave your hand so the lifeguards know that you're in danger and come and get you, that's not what we were looking for, because almost no one who's drowning can wave their hands. If they can wave their hands, they're doing okay. But if they're drowning, what we were looking for was not thrashing about. What we were looking for was stillness. We were looking out for the one child who may have just gotten out of their depth and was now sinking very quietly below the surface. And would have to just, if we see it, just jump in and grab them. They can't reach out for help. They can't thrash themselves up above the water. They are lost until someone can reach in and grab them. And that's the experience that the psalmist is facing. He is drowning. He can't find safety or security. He can't even find them in his God. Well-meaning people might have been quoting the Bible to him, telling him it's all going to be okay, God's with you, but he just can't feel that. It feels like emptiness to him. He's floundering and he can't find anything to hold on to that's secure. He desperately needs God to do something. He needs God to grab him, to pick him up, to hold him, to draw him somewhere safe, to draw him onto the rock. So what is this rock that he's talking about, this safety, this security? Well, in verse 4, the psalmist describes this solid refuge, this solid rock. He describes it as a tent. Verse 4, I long to dwell in your tent forever and to take refuge in the shelter of your wings. I don't know if you've done much camping, but tents, while they're wonderful, they're not like solid, right? Some of us will have had very bad experiences in tents blowing over and rain getting in. Tents don't conjure the same image of a solid rock, do they? But the psalmist is not so much talking about the material that makes up the tent, but he's talking about what the tent signifies, what the tent represents. And for the ancient Israelite at the time of David, God's tent, God's tabernacle, was symbolic of his presence with his people. The tabernacle was God's tent. That's where God said he would live, so to speak. That's where God would be with his people. So even as they wandered around the desert for 40 years, if they had the tent with them, if they had the tabernacle with them, then even in the desert, in the wilderness, they knew that God was with them. They had the assurance that God was close to them. They had the security of God's tent. It didn't come from its material, not from its canvas. But its security came from the presence of God, the nearness of God. And that's what it means when the psalmist says he's taking refuge under the wings or the shelter of God's wings. Again, it's not that God has wings, but that God is like a loving mother duck, sheltering his people, keeping them close, keeping them near, protecting them. And so in the turbulent experiences of his life, this psalmist knows that he needs God to take him by the hand. He needs God to lift his eyes to the safety and security. He needs God to show him his presence and his love and his tender care. Because on his own at the moment, he cannot feel these things. He calls out to God, "Lift me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Now, this psalm was written maybe something like 1,000 BC. That's 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years separate this writer and us. But he could be writing about our lives, couldn't he? He could be writing about our lives where we face the same kinds of feelings and fears and emptiness and loss. Sickness, divorce, anxiety and stress, the global tensions around the world of great nations and superpowers rattling the cages, all of these things can overwhelm us. And they leave us feeling like we don't have a solid footing, a solid place to stand. It feels like there's nothing that's really supporting us. It's like you're Wile E. Coyote running off the edge of the cliff and you feel like there's emptiness. There's nothing solid to put our hope and our confidence in. But this psalm gives us words to cry out when we're in that exact moment. To call on to God, to cry out to him, to yell to him, to lead us to the rock, to the refuge that's bigger than us, that's higher than we are, that we can't climb onto for ourselves. To call on God to take us by the hand and hold us steady on the rock while all of the waves crash about and the floods knock us. To call unto God to not let us go. This psalm gives us words to express to God how we're feeling and what we're fearing. But it has more to say on this. Because we get this idea of being safe on the rock, but in the second part of the psalm, we meet God's king, and we work out that our safety is in the king. We are safe with the king. Because ancient Israelites had a problem. We don't know if this was written by David or by someone else, but any old ancient Israelite had a really significant problem. We can already see that they're facing great troubles, but here's the problem. Any general, run-of-the-mill ancient Israelite faced a danger because their fate and their security was tied to the fate and the security of their king. God anointed kings. He anointed people to rule over his people, to lead his people in serving him faithfully and to protect his people. And as the king prospered, as the king lived faithfully, God blessed the king, and through the king, when the king was blessed, the nation was blessed. But as the king rejected God, as the king turned away from God and suffered the consequences, the whole nation suffered the consequences. And so this Israelite prays, and in his prayer, he prays for the king, for God to bless the king, to keep the king secure, because ultimately this Israelite knows that their own safety and security is tied to the safety and security of their king. Things are really dicey for your average run-of-the-mill Israelite. See what he prays in verses 6 to 8. See what he prays. This is about the king. He prays, "Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing in praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day." See, he's praying three specific things for the king, that the king will have a long and stable reign, and this stable reign will be passed down from generation to generation. He's praying that this king will stay close to God, that God will be close to the king, that the king will be enthroned in God's presence, ruling in the presence and nearness of God. And he prays, thirdly, that God's love and faithfulness will protect the king and keep the king faithful and loving too. Because the psalmist knows that if God answers these prayers for the king, then the whole kingdom will prosper and be secure, and he himself will be prospering and secure. But what about us? Does our ultimate security rest on the faithfulness and wisdom of King Charles? Thankfully, no. Does it rest on the faithfulness and security and wisdom of our Prime Minister or our Premier? Well, no. That's not the case. Because for this psalmist, for the Israelites, their national king was also God's appointed king, God's Messiah. The word for anointed is Messiah. When God anointed a king, that king was his Messiah for his people. And so their security was tied to their Messiah. And today in 2026, God's kingdom is not ruled by any national leader, although we definitely should still pray for them. God's kingdom is ruled by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I said before that we shouldn't pin our hopes on the year 2026 as a year of our security, but I want to clarify that. Our security is found in 2026 AD. Our security is found in 2026 AD. Not the 2026 part. This year will bring its own troubles. But it's the AD part that gives us our security, that shows us our security. If you had good teachers in primary school, they helped you to understand AD. You have BC, before Christ. AD doesn't stand for after death. I thought it did. I guess that kind of mixed with Jesus. Anyway, BC, before Christ. AD, what does it stand for? Anno Domini. Latin. We're all a bit fancy, aren't we? Latin words, the year of our Lord. The year of our Lord. AD is the year of our Lord. This year is 2026, the year of our Lord. And that means we can find safety and security this year, whatever trouble comes our way, because it's a year under the rule of Jesus the risen King. At his resurrection, Jesus was enthroned as God's forever King. As the people of God's kingdom, we are linked to our king. Our fate is linked to the fate of our king. Where is Jesus now? He is ruling on the throne in heaven. That's our future. We are linked to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that since Jesus rose from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. Since he has been given an incorruptible body, we will be given new incorruptible bodies. There's no more sickness or fatigue or failures. Since Jesus sits enthroned in heaven, that is our future too, to sit enthroned in the presence of God. This ancient Israelite prayed for the king, and his prayer was answered in ways he could never have even imagined. The king sits enthroned in heaven, far above the wildest dreams of this ancient Israelite. And our future is tied to our king. Our security is tied to our king. And so as Jesus rules the world, as he rules over the nations, over the leaders with all of their squabbles, as he rules over the situations in our lives, our health and our sickness, as he rules over all of those things, he gives us security, safety and security. Because we know where we're headed. Brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, you are headed to a future with the Lord Jesus that no world leader can ever take away from you. You are headed to a future with the Lord Jesus that dementia cannot take away from you, that strokes or heart attacks or cancer, that divorce and breakdown of relationships and fear for what's going on in the lives of our children, none of those things can take away your future, which is tied to the Lord Jesus. You are safe with your King. He is your security. He is the one who sets up your future. He is the one that gives you hope and certainty that whatever comes this year, whatever trials and joys comes in the year 2026, we know that we are secure with the Lord Jesus. I don't know what's going to happen this year. I don't know what's going to happen next week. But I do know that Jesus reigns, that he is the King. And this psalm gives us words to cry out when we're feeling like we're drowning. And it gives us words of comfort to see that the King, our King, is the one who secures our future. God is the one who has taken us by the hand. God is the one who has lifted us onto the rock. God is the one who has brought us deeper and deeper into his presence to know the Lord Jesus, to know that he is the eternal King. He is the foundation of our hope, the foundation of our security. This psalm directs us to find our hope and security in Jesus alone. Because God has raised him from the dead and God has promised that he will return and that we will be with him forever. That's what our hope and security are based on. Not the fact that we've turned over a calendar one year and we just hope that this will be better. Our hope and security are anchored in the risen Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. Words of life. Words of hope. Help us to find our security in Christ. To know that we are safe with him. Whatever comes this year, help us to cry out to you. We pray that you will lift us out of the pain, out of the fear. Lift us onto the rock that is higher than us. And help us to see that our future is secure in Jesus Christ. Amen.